We are continuing on our Advent series today, which is entitled, Who is this King of Glory? So it was really a great song choice this morning by our team, just to lead us into that thought. Who is this King of Glory who came, who we celebrate at the Christmas season? Who is this King that has come here to earth to come and be this King to us? And we're exploring that kind of through a very alliance lens over the course of this Advent season of December. Last week, Pastor Ian started us off in this whole series, considering who is this King. He is the King who came to be Christ, our Savior. And our cross on our alliance logo is representative of the fact that Jesus is our Savior. And so we had a great talk about that last week, what he actually came and accomplished for us at the cross. But Jesus came to be so much more than just our Savior. And we see that in the symbols of the fourfold gospel that's shown in our logo. We see that Jesus came to be our sanctifier, represented by the laver, the wash basin, if you like. We see that he came to be our healer, represented by the jug of oil that's poured out. And he came to be our coming King. And we're going to be talking about each of these in turn over these weeks, about all these things that Jesus came to be when he came at that first Christmas. But today, we're continuing on in our series by going back and looking at Jesus coming to be our sanctifier. Now, of all the things that we say in our symbol, sanctifier is probably the one that maybe needs a little bit of the most explanation, because it's not a word we typically use in our language today, and we're going to be getting to that in just a few moments. But before we get there, I just want to start off with a little bit of my own story, to give you an idea of where this whole thing of sanctification has lived and resonated for me. I became a Christian when I was 6 years old. So I experienced Jesus as my Savior at the side of my bed when my mom was praying with me, and I had heard about Jesus in church. I knew that he had come and he had died so that I could have forgiveness of my sins, so I could have eternal life with God. That was something I wanted because it sounded awesome, right? Like life in heaven sounds pretty fantastic, so what six-year-old wouldn't want that? That was amazing. And so I wanted that. I was longing for that. I understood that part of it. I understood what Jesus came to do for me. So I wanted to receive that. I wanted to know him as my personal Savior. And so I received him into my life when I was six. I was baptized a little bit into my teen years as a way of just saying, this is my decision. I made this decision to go and follow Jesus. So I was baptized to demonstrate that. And then I went through a series of years where I kind of struggled in my faith for a bit. And it wasn't until my 20s that I came across this idea of Jesus as my sanctifier. In my 20s, I was, at that time, attending an Alliance church in North Vancouver. I'd grown up in the Baptist tradition, so I went to a Baptist church actually here in Prince George, and then I went to a Baptist church down in Victoria. And while I was on a work term in North Vancouver, I went to an Alliance church there and talked to the pastor, and he asked me, Dave, have you ever been filled with the Holy Spirit? I had no idea what that meant. Honestly, I hadn't really heard anything about being filled with the Holy Spirit before. I really didn't know what that involved, what it meant, what it would make me look like. I had no idea, nothing. I got nothing. And so he gave me this little tract that I went through, which was, so you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, effectively. And I walked through that and worked through this little book. And that led to me discovering who Jesus was as my sanctifier. Moving from understanding him just being my Savior to also being the Lord of my life. Now, Lord is one of those words we kind of throw around a lot in church that I think sometimes we don't really understand what it's about. Because we talk about Lord. Lord effectively means master, the one we serve, the one who would lead and tell us where we should go. So to choose Jesus not just as my Savior but as my Lord meant not just trusting him for salvation one day, but also choosing to allow him to direct every part of my life here and now. And that was a very different decision for me. And it was one that didn't come until, I was in my 20s. And that really started me on a journey of getting to know God so much more than what I had in the past. And so we're going to dive into this whole idea that Jesus is not just our Savior, but he's also our sanctifier today. There's more to this story than just our hope for heaven one day when we die. And I know that's not all that Ian said last week either, so don't get the wrong impression about what it means that Jesus is our Savior, but sometimes we narrow it to that, don't we? We talk about Jesus being our Savior, so we're across this line So that if we're on the good side of the line, that means we get to go to heaven one day. But if we're on the bad side of the line, that means we go to hell one day. And we minimalize it to that. But it's so much greater than that. So we're going to get into what Jesus actually came to do. And just to start us off, to get you a little bit of a kind of baseline for where we come at this as an Alliance family of churches, I want to read to you from the Statement of Faith about what it says about sanctification. This is from number 7 of our Statement of Faith, which you can find in the membership book or on our Statement of Faith online with the Christian Missionary Alliance. It is the will of God that in union with Christ, each believer should be sanctified thoroughly, thereby being separated from sin and the world and fully dedicated to God, receiving power for holy living and sacrificial and effective service towards the completion of Christ's commission. This is accomplished through being filled with the Holy Spirit, which is both a distinct event and progressive experience in the life of the believer. All God's people said, amen. It was pretty weak amen, because that's just a lot of theological terms, am I right? It's only 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning. You guys might not be awake for all that yet. So we're going to unpack a lot of this today and what Scripture actually says to kind of get us to this place of understanding that our life is meant for so much more, that God wants to do so much more in us, have us experience so much more in life, and Christ came to accomplish that. But let's pray first, and then we're going to dive into this together. So Father, as we get into this talk today, as we get So Father, we just give you all of the service, all the stuff that's glitching on us today, all the stuff that the enemy would like to get in the way so we do not engage with you. God, we want to hear from you today. We don't want to be distracted by anything the enemy would want to trip us up with. So meet us here to share your word and your heart with us for the things that are important to you about who we are, who you are, and how we live in relationship. So God, would you meet us here in this place? Open our eyes to see the things in the texts that we're going to be reading today. Open our eyes to see what we need to see so that we would see you, Jesus. And we ask for that in your name. Amen. Ah, it's a day of technological wonders, isn't it? Man, stuff just happens. Okay, so we've already said this today, but I'm just going to say it again. Because I think, again, it just needs to be said, so we just make sure this is hammered home. Jesus is more than just a savior. He's more than just one who came to save us from this thing on earth to get us somewhere else when we die. It's so much bigger than that, and he came to do so much more than that. That's where I was, though, when I was 6. That was the extent of my belief. That's what I believed Jesus came to do, that God loved me, Jesus died so I could get to be to heaven in heaven with him when I died. That was the extent of my understanding. But there's so much more to that. And I think implicitly we know that, don't we? We know that there's got to be something more than just that. I mean, otherwise, why are we in some ways evangelizing if all we're trying to do is get people across the line one day? Why do we worry about them out when they're young? Why don't we just go to the hospitals and preach Jesus there when they're almost on their way out, right? We know that life shouldn't just be like this. It shouldn't just be with all this brokenness and struggle and pain, all these things that are going on. We know there should be something different to our experience. So we know that Jesus came and did more than just die for us for one day when we go away. We know it in our heart, in our inner being. We know there's something that should be more than this. And so we also know it because Jesus told us there was more to what he did. In John 17, 19, Jesus said this, "For them," referring to his disciples, this is part of Jesus' big priestly prayer before he goes to the cross. He's talking to the Father. He says, "For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. I'm going to set myself apart for the work that God's called me to go to the cross, so that everyone else may also be truly sanctified, that they may truly be set apart also." So we know it from what Jesus said, that sanctification is part of what our experience is supposed to be, being sanctified. We also know it from the letters that Paul wrote. He wrote this all over the place, but here it is in 1 Thessalonians 5. "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." There is something that's happening before Jesus returns. a sanctification process so that we would be fully blameless when Jesus returns. It's not just that he died so that, you know, we just go along doing whatever we want, and then one day we're whisked up to heaven. There's something that happens here, and we know it to be true. Jesus came to be more than just a savior. But I want to take a moment and talk about what being sanctified means. Because like I said, this is one of those words, right, kind of a churchy word, that maybe we struggle with a little bit. But sanctification and being sanctified effectively means to be set apart. To be set apart. And so you see actually sort of this word group, words that we translate in English, sanctified or holy or noun version, saint, are all the same word. All the same word. So if you are sanctified, that means you are holy, which means you're actually a saint. That's a pretty cool thought, hey? Saint Steve sitting right here in the front of the church this morning. Isn't that awesome? Sorry, Steve, you're just right in front, so I'm picking on you. But that's it's all the same idea, all the same word, that God is doing this thing to make us holy, separate. And what that means is to set us apart from the sinfulness of the world and our sinful fleshly desires and be set apart not just from something, from that stuff, but also be set apart to God and his purposes for our life. That's the setting apartness. We're set apart from the things of the world, the evil of the world, and we're set to the things that God is wanting to accomplish and doing in our world. But how do we actually do it? How do we live out this sanctified life? How do we become sanctified? How does God actually make that happen in our life? Well, what I want to do is start with the negative of how we don't actually do it. Because there's lots of ideas of how we can become sanctified or how we can make ourselves holy that are totally wrong. And so here's just a good example of that. It's a statement from A.B. Simpson in his little book, The Fourfold Gospel, which Ian referred to last week. It's a really short read, actually, and it's a fantastic little book. But this is what he says. You cannot grow into sanctification. You will grow after you are in it into a fuller, riper, and more mature development of life in Christ. But you must take it at its commencement as a gift, not a growth. You will not grow yourself to be holy. I don't care how much effort you put in. I don't care how much you beat yourself up. I don't care how much work you try and put into this that you think you will be able to accomplish it. You cannot do it. Just like you cannot save yourself. You cannot sanctify yourself. It is a gift at the beginning. It's something that God has to do for us. We can't just grow into sanctification and make it happen for ourselves. So it's not really about human effort or just kind of becoming better people. It's not, I mean, we hear a lot about that, kind of making our inner selves just come alive and we're going to be better people and all these kinds of things, and that's not what it's about. It's about something that Jesus does for us. Because Jesus is actually the one who ultimately sanctifies us. He is the one who makes that happen. And we see the hints of this back in the prophets. And Christmas time is a wonderful time to look back and see some of the prophecies about Jesus. There's so many of them, right? About he was going to be born of a virgin, he was going to be born in Bethlehem, and there's going to be the, you know, light that would come from him. All these things that would be really, really cool about Jesus. But in Ezekiel, it talks about what he would actually come and do. And this is what God said he would do for us. Ezekiel 36, he said, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. See, there's a prophetic hint here that this is something that God is going to do for us, in us. And there's something that he's going to do to actually change us here and now. That he's going to do something to the deep inner workings of our being in order to give us a heart that desires after him and not just after ourselves. That he'll change us from the inside out so that we will actually be able to carefully follow his laws and his decrees, which we really struggle to do on our own, quite frankly. But this is something that God will accomplish and do within us. That's what he says. So we see it from the prophetic hints. We also see it from Jesus' own words. We've read this already today. We're going to read it again. John 17:19, "For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified." This is something that Jesus said was a part of his work on the cross. As Jesus is setting himself aside fully to the work that God's called him to go to the cross and die for us, he's also in that same action, sanctifying us. We may be truly sanctified by the sanctifying work of Jesus. By him being set apart to the work of God, he is also therefore setting us apart from sin and to God. So Jesus' death enables us to be sanctified. What Jesus did for us. He is the one who sanctifies us. Now, the other thing that Jesus did for us, though, and we read this in the prophecy in Ezekiel 36, that God was going to put a new spirit in us, right? He was going to put his poorest spirit on us so that we'd be able to follow his decrees. Well, one of the things that Jesus did is when he came to earth, he had this Holy Spirit of God living in him and moving him and helping to direct his every step. And then when he went back to be with the Father, he told his disciples, "When I go back to be with the Father, I'm going to send the Spirit to you." And so Jesus gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit to come and actually reside in us, to direct our steps, to animate us and give us empowerment to be able to live out the life that God wants us to live. So he didn't just, foretell about this whole thing that God would do this thing. And Jesus didn't just talk about doing it and then accomplish it in his death. He's actually empowered us by the Holy Spirit to be able to be sanctified. Galatians 5 says this, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Now, this is in a whole section in Galatians 5 about talking about what, the earthly, worldly life looks like and what life in the Spirit looks like, and they're very, very different. And you can read the lists a little later on if you would like. But this is how we actually live a sanctified life, is by the Holy Spirit living in us. And if we walk by the Spirit, then we're not going to walk in the ways of the world. We'll walk by the way that God wants us to. We're set apart from sin, and we're set apart to the ways of God and to relationship with him. But the reality is we cannot be sanctified without the gift of Jesus. We can't be sanctified without the Holy Spirit living in us. And that's a part of what we read in the Alliance Statement about sanctification. This is a work of being filled with the Holy Spirit. This is how it's accomplished. It's not accomplished in our own effort. It's not accomplished by the things we try and do. It's accomplished by what Jesus did and the fact that we now have the Holy Spirit poured out on us. That is how we live and actually are sanctified. Now, it's probably a valuable thing to say at this point, just before we get into how we actually experience this, to talk about the difference, and I realize this might be a little early on a Sunday for this. you guys were glazing over already with some of the earlier theological talk. So here we go. The difference between positional versus realized sanctification. That sounds like fun, right? Okay, so just really quickly, here's the difference. Positional sanctification means that our identity as children of God, once we believe in Jesus, once we trust him and we've received him as our Savior, now we are positioned before God as his children. Yes? That makes sense to you guys? Okay, so our identity now is as children of God. We are set apart as children of God. We're no longer a part of the kingdom of the world. We're now a part of the kingdom of God. Make sense? Okay, so positionally then, you could say that we have already been set apart the moment Christ is our Savior. We're positionally set apart for God and away from the world, right? That's our position. That's our identity. That's who we actually are as followers of Christ. We're the children of God set apart from the things of the world, set apart to the things of God. That's what we are, yes? Would that be fair to say? So positionally, we are sanctified. That's what that means. We have that identity that is ours. But that doesn't mean we always live like it. And so realized sanctification means actually living into who we are, who God has made us to be. Just as an example, the book of 1 Corinthians. Let me just pull this up here for you. 1 Corinthians 1:2 says, "To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, So this is Paul's address to the church that was meeting in the city of Corinth. And he says, you guys are those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. You're called to be his holy people. This is who you are as Corinthians in this Corinthian church. Because you've decided to follow Jesus, you've received him as your Savior, therefore you are sanctified. You are the holy people. Right? Make sense so far? Now, if you were to read the rest of the letter of 1 Corinthians, of Paul writing to his church, what you might get the impression of is these people are anything but sanctified. There is infighting happening. There is people squabbling over who should be the rightful leader and right teacher of their congregation. There are people fighting about the ways that the gifts should be expressed. There are people rushing ahead of each other and not giving any consideration to each other as they come to the Lord's table, getting filled up off the bread while other people are really starving for food. There are people committing sexual sins that are like just crazy even within their society. It was an absolute mess. And these are the holy people. They've been set aside, set apart by the work of Christ and their belief in him. They are set apart as the people of God. But now Christ also empowers them to live like that. That's realized sanctification. That's when we actually start to live into our identity. And start living away from the things of the world and living into the things of God. That's something that doesn't just happen positionally like that. That's something that's a lifelong transformation. That's why God says, I'm going to put my spirit into you so that you will be able to follow my decrees and laws. It's not that just automatically, boom, now you have. It's now that you have the ability and you're enabled by the Spirit of God to live into those things. Are you with me? You might feel the difference in that in your own life. Because you know when you became a Christian, you were set apart as one of, maybe you didn't know this before, but you are set apart as one of the holy people of God. That is who you are. That's your identity. Do you always live like that? Can you look back at the last week or month and say, I have not committed anything in violation of the laws of God? I certainly cannot. In my attitudes, in the words I've spoken, in the words that I haven't spoken, but I really, really, really wanted to speak. We all feel this. We all feel that there's something there where we have already been set aside as holy, and yet there's something that's still being worked out. And so what we got to get, though, is that this whole thing, start to finish, this is a work of God. Foretold in the prophets, announced by Jesus, accomplished in his death, fulfilled and enabled by the Holy Spirit as he sends it out to live within us. This is the work of God in this sanctification of who we are, this setting apart. This is what Jesus came to accomplish. He wanted us to experience so much more out of life, the life that God has actually created us for. So now it's our part to start living into that along with him. But how do we do it? How does that actually take place? Well, A.B. Simpson was a pretty practical guy, as much as he was also quite a theologian, wrote lots of stuff. But he had some really practical steps to actually embrace Jesus as our sanctifier and to begin this whole journey of sanctification. And I say journey because you may have noticed in the statement as well, it says this, sanctification, which is both a distinct event and a progressive experience in the life of a believer. There is a point at which we decide, but there is also a working out that continues to happen for the rest of our life. There's both end. So this is the four steps that Simpson talked about walking through to be sanctified, to embrace Jesus as our sanctifier. So he said, first of all, we need a divine revelation of our need. We got to get the fact that even though we have been saved, we are still a hot mess, right? There is still all kinds of stuff that's in our life. We got to recognize our sinfulness, our brokenness. Even though Jesus paid for our sins and we are set apart now as the children of God, there is still a whole bunch of active sinfulness going on in us that has to be dealt with. That was a part of what I got when I was in my 20s. when I sat with that little pamphlet about, do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And I sat beside a lake down in North Vancouver. I was wrestling with that. And I understood my own brokenness, my own sinfulness, my own desperate need for God to do something with this mess that was me. I knew I couldn't fix it on my own. I couldn't do it. I recognized that I actually needed him to be able to do it. And I think that was something that he absolutely showed to me. I needed him to show me that I needed him. The second piece is to see Jesus as the one who is our sanctifier. To understand that this is not about now me figuring out how to make this better. Jesus is the one who actually sanctifies us. I can't actually do it on my own. I don't have the tools. But he does. Romans 7 says this, "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death?" This is sort of like that revelation of divine need. Paul coming to that place of going, this is just, look at the brokenness in me. The things that I know I shouldn't do, I want to do, and the things that I know I should do, I don't want to do, and this is just awful. So who's going to rescue me from this body of death? Well, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not about me. It's about him. And he can. He can do this in me. Jesus can actually sanctify me and make me truly holy through a realized experience of that. So first thing, to recognize that we actually have need for Jesus in this. Second, to see Jesus as the one who sanctifies us. And the third piece is an entire surrender. An entire surrender. Letting Jesus be the functional Lord of all of me. Not just Lord in title. Not just Lord when we sing songs about Jesus. Not just Lord when we read it in Scripture and kind of go, yeah, God's my Lord. Functional Lord. Functional Master. The one who actively is directing the path of your life. The one who you seek for any direction, for wherever you're going. The one who you seek to follow in everything that you do, every thought that you have, every space that you want to live into, every job, every family decision, everything. Allowing him to be Lord in all those spaces. The functional Lord of all of me. If you kind of think of your house as, or your life as a house, house is a life, life is a house. There we go. Honestly, I think there's a sense in which, like, you know, when this is not necessarily theologically completely accurate, but my experience of it was like, when I invited Jesus to be my Savior, I let him in the front door of my house. I invited him in because I want a relationship with him. And I might have even had him come into the living room, hang out a little bit. It's a safe place. We usually make sure that's clean for guests. But I don't think I invited him to look into my closet or into the storage room or into the laundry room that we kept closed that day because we had a whole bunch of stuff lying all over the place or into the dusty corners that we only sweep once every couple of years. That may be not quite accurate. Maybe I only sweep there every couple of years. My wife's probably taking care of that a lot more often than that. Let's be honest. But there's a lot of spaces in the house of my life that I really didn't want exposed. And allowing Jesus to be that functional Lord of all of my life, entire surrender, means opening up every door. And say, it's all yours. Every part of me, every dirty little secret, every thought that I wish nobody would ever know that I thought, or action that I've never told anybody that I have ever done, is all exposed to the light of Jesus. Every part. Entire surrender of life. Simpson said it this way, "We must give ourselves to him thoroughly, definitely, and unconditionally, and have it graven in the heart as if it were written on the rocks or painted in the sky. Everything." So understand our need which is really a divine revelation that comes, I can't convince you that you're screwed up. I can't. I could probably convince you that I'm screwed up. That's not as hard. But God's got to show you that you need him. See, Jesus is your sanctifier. Have a complete surrender of every part of your life, and then actually believe that he receives our consecration. Believe that when we ask Jesus and we expose every part of our life to him and we offer it all to him, believe that he receives it. Because I don't know about you guys, but I think it'd be really easy to go, okay, I'm looking at the mess of everything that's in me. Nobody would want all this. Nobody. But we're invited to believe that Jesus actually wants this. And we know that to be true because God's already said that all through his word. And he tells us that he wants us to be thoroughly sanctified. So if we actually come to him and invite him to sanctify us, we're actually praying what he told us he wants for us. So don't you think he's going to honor that? It's a great way to make sure your prayers get answered. Pray the things that God already said that he wanted. Right? So believe that he actually receives the consecration that we give when we give our life completely and wholly to him. Now, one thing I want to comment on this, just before we get any further, we're almost to the end. I want to give you an invitation today, but I said it earlier, I'm going to say it again. This is both a distinct event and a progressive experience in the life of a believer. Our choice of total surrender and walking through this kind of process, I mean, it doesn't have to look exactly like this, but I think this is a very good way of seeing this process. Our experience of walking through this happens at a starting point at some point. We all have to start this journey sometime. Well, you don't have to, but if you're going to walk in the way of God, you're going to have this starting point at some point. But it doesn't just happen as a one-off. There is a starting point to this journey, but it is also a progressive experience where we continue to surrender. And I got to tell you, in my story, in my life, that has been my experience of this. I had that moment that I can identify back when I was in my 20s, but that was not the end of the road for me. There has been a continuing process of opening doors to God in my life. There's been a continuing process of recognizing at a deeper level the brokenness that exists in me. That isn't just surface level sin stuff that you kind of go, okay, yeah, you're kind of a sinner because of this kind of issue. It actually drives down to the motives and the stuff that's below that in the heart part of who I am. And as that stuff gets revealed to me, it's again a continual process of, okay, God, I give that to you now. And okay, God, I give that to you now. And there's a continual process of God working this out with me. As he continues to identify things to me, I continue to bring them back, confess where I need to, forgive people where I need to, own the stuff I need to, and allow him to transform in that additional area of my life. This is something that's progressive in our lives. As God continues to root out the sinfulness of us and bring us more and more into God's life for us. More into the abundant life he has for us. Simpson said this, and I think this is a really important thing to keep in mind with this. Sanctification is not self-perfection. We shall never become so inherently good that there will be no possibility or temptation to sin. We shall never reach a place where we shall not need each moment to abide in him. We're never going to get this so figured out that we will not need Jesus for every moment. You know, we don't just preach Jesus because other people outside of here need Jesus. We preach Jesus because we need Jesus for every moment of every day, for every part of life. Jesus wasn't something that happened to me when I was six and now I'm good and I just do my own thing. Jesus is someone that I experience relationship with every day as he renews and transforms my life. And if I don't have Jesus walking with me, empowering me by the Holy Spirit, I am in desperate trouble. Oh, what a wretched man I am. Because without Jesus, there go I. So, what I want to do today is extend an invitation. Because you're invited to take a step deeper into this life of sanctification, a deeper step into your experience of Jesus as your sanctifier. Now, it could be that you've never done this before. It could be that you've never even thought of Jesus as being more than your Savior. You've never understood that he has so much more for life, even here and now, things that he wants to shape and transform in you, to set you apart more to God's purposes and away from the purposes of the world. And if that's the case, I want to invite you, if God's pulling at you today, if he's the one revealing your need for that, to surrender to him. To say yes. An entire surrender of who you are to God, saying, yeah, I want to give this all to you. And know that if you do that, he will honor that and receive what you've offered. And he will come in and begin to work and transform your life. And if you've already started down that journey, and maybe there's something else that God's been talking to you about, that there's something more to surrender today, I want to invite you to keep letting it go to him. Keep surrendering that thing. Keep offering it back to him. The stuff that he identifies to you, just say, okay, God, if that's another piece, it's yours. Don't hold up barriers. Don't try and hold them back. But just choose to surrender that to him today. Have that progressive experience, that continual movement of God in your life, transforming and shaping you. It's through that we experience the abundant life he has for us. So here's what I want to do. Simpson kind of summarized these four steps with just a really great, concise statement. but it also reads really well as a prayer. And so I'm going to put this on the screen for you. And I'm going to read it through. I'm going to read this through. And if this is where you're at today, if you feel the need for Jesus to more and more sanctify you through and through, I want to invite you to pray this. You can just pray it quietly, that's fine. But pray it along with me and let that lead into our time of response, okay? Our time with the Lord. And I need to read this today again. I am dead. My own life is surrendered and buried out of sight. Jesus is my sanctifier and my all in all. I surrender everything into his hand for him to do with as he thinks best. I believe he receives the dedication I make to him. I believe he will be in me all I need in this life or in the world to come.